Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thanks for joining. I tell you what, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 19. And in the previous episode, we saw that David had fled to Samuel. And David was with Samuel and prophets in Naoth in Ramah. And Saul found out about it. Saul sent some messengers to capture David and to bring him back. But the messengers show up and they see the company of prophets prophesying. They see Samuel standing and presiding over it. And the Spirit of God comes up on these messengers and they begin to prophesy. Saul hears about that. He sends some other messengers. They also prophesied. So Saul sends other messengers the third time and they also prophesy. It's because the Spirit of the Lord was moving upon them. Some would even say that the Spirit of the Lord was there. Well, undoubtedly, the Spirit of the Lord was there. I've got a very, very dear friend that has quite a prophetic gift. He is a hoot. Love him to death. Just amazing, amazing guy. And I believe it's his Facebook page. Some portion of his social media is actually named Naoth in Ramah. He calls it that. And of course, it precipitates all sorts of questions. What does that mean? Well, there you go. You get to answer that question, right? So Saul hears all this stuff, had sent three bunches of messengers there, and they all prophesied. You'll actually see a similar kind of thing happening later on with Elijah when Ahab sends some soldiers out to arrest him. And Elijah says, if I'm a man of God, may fire from heaven come down. Fire from heaven comes down and consumes those 50 soldiers, kills them. Well, apparently one of them had escaped, or somebody did who saw it, so they go back and tell the king. He sends 50 more out there to arrest him. Elijah says the same thing. Same thing happens. Well, then he sends 50 more. This time he gets out there, and the leader of the 50 says, hey, oh, man of God, don't do anything to us. He had heard. He'd heard what had happened. And the Lord told Elijah, okay, you can go with this one. Okay, he's walking in some humility before me right here. Okay, so it's sort of a similar kind of picture. But in this case, they're prophesying. Now, watch what happens. We're going to look at three verses here today. Verse 22 of 1 Samuel 19. Then he himself, and that's speaking of Saul, Saul himself went to Ramah. He's thinking, okay, I got a problem. I'm going to go up there. And he came as far as a large well that is in Succoth. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, behold, they are at Naoth and Ramah. In other words, they haven't moved. So Saul himself goes, he's on the way, he's not there yet, but he gets to a large well. Well, what do you do at a large well? It's a road stop. You stop off there, get a drink of water, get some stuff. He inquires somebody, where's Samuel, where's David? They tell him, behold, they're at Naoth and Ramah. Verse 23, he proceeded there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. So that he went along prophesying continually until he came to Naoth in Ramah. Now get that. It said he proceeded to there. So he's on his way. You know, when you first read that, you think, okay, he's arrived there. No, he hadn't arrived yet. When you read the rest of the sentence, you see that. He's proceeding there, and on his way, the Spirit of God comes upon him also. And you say, well, that's sort of weird that you're on your way to go capture somebody, to arrest somebody, to kill them, to execute them, and the Spirit of God comes upon you? Folks, pay attention to the word. It happens here. Happened with Saul of Tarsus. He was on the way to Damascus to kill him some believers, and the Spirit of God came upon him. The Lord came upon him. Same thing here. The Spirit of God comes upon Saul, and he begins to prophesy. And he prophesies continually, until he comes to Naoth and Ramah. So what was this prophesying? What was he saying? We're not told. We do not know anything in this whole story right here. We're not told what they are saying. They're prophesying of the Lord God. It's the word that's coming from the Lord. It's being released to them. In the case of the prophets, they're seeking the Lord. They're desiring the Lord to do this. The Lord releases. He speaks in and through them. It may be something that they have seen from the Word of God. It may be something that they've seen from nature. It may be something that gets moved upon their spirit at that moment that they had never really thought of with their mind. But now they're speaking it. All of that's valid. Okay. In the case of these messengers, and in the case of Saul, you've got somebody that's coming against him, somebody that's standing against God, and God said, okay, no, the Spirit of God comes upon them and absolutely trumps it, trumps their evil, okay? And so they're prophesying, and he's prophesying all the way there. But wait, there's one more verse. Listen to this. He, that's Saul, also stripped off his clothes, and he prophesied before Samuel and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul among the prophets? So it became a meme. The meme is a question, is Saul among the prophets too? Because he prophesied. But notice what he did. He stripped off his clothes. Now, when you read, you know, commentaries and folks, they're always sort of careful with this, you know. If you read it at face value, you go, wow, there's some things happening here. And they'll say, well, he took off his kingly splendor, his kingly garments. Well, this is true. He took those off. He stripped all of those things, and he too prophesied, and he prophesied before Samuel in the same way these other prophets were. Remember when Samuel was standing up and the other prophets were prophesying? Some may be bowed, some may be seated, some may be laid flat on their face, some may be flat on their back. Some may be twirling and churling in the dervish before the Lord, dancing before the Lord, whatever it may be. Okay, Samuel is leading this right here, standing before, and Saul is now before Samuel. In Saul's case, he's laying down naked all that day. You'll see a little footnote that will say, oh, that means, well, without outward garments. Well, that's true. He didn't have outward garments. More than likely, he didn't have any garments on. And you say, well, God wouldn't do that. Oh, really? Go ask Isaiah about that. God told Isaiah, hey, I want you to go down here, and I want you to walk around naked for 3 years as a sign before my people. How would we treat that today if the Lord did that in and through somebody? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so here he is. He's laid down all that day, all that night. He's literally laid out before the Lord. And there's example after example of contemporary examples that happened today in past times among people groups you would never imagine, among people groups you might imagine it happening, where that happens. Jonathan Edwards, the great, great, great preacher of the First Awakening in the 1700s, he would preach in a monotone. He would stand up and read his sermons and read without any emotion. He didn't want there to be any emotional thing in what he read. He did not want there to be any manipulation of the people, anything like that. He would read, the power of God fell upon his congregation. At that time, they would actually print the sermons and papers, and you can see other churches started attacking his church because of how God manifested himself. And there was one particular instance where a guy was there listening to the message, and the guy gets slammed to the floor. And he winds up laying on the floor, I think it was 48 hours, moaning and groaning, but basically laying on the floor for 48 hours. And you can imagine how the religionists took Edwards to task on this and said that it was evil and not of God, et cetera, et cetera. Jonathan Edwards said this. Let me tell you what I know. When that man came in here, he was a blasphemer of God. He beat his wife. He abused his children. When he arose 2 days later, he's a lover of God. He's a lover of his wife, and he's a lover of his children. See, he was laid out moaning and groaning. Jonathan Edwards' wife was known for that. She would have extended periods of days where she was laid out in the bed, just nearly catatonic, but she was before the Lord. We need to pay attention to some things right here, folks. We need to watch how God might choose to move and not be so quick to just reject because we think we know better. Well, again, I'm Dale. We'll talk more about this later, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.